All right, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. Happy Veterans Day 2022. I want to talk about normalizing righteousness in society. The left has done a great, I shouldn't call it, the Antichrist has done a great job of normalizing evil. I don't know how else to say it. Normalizing evil. The left is the Antichrist forces. Again, I got to train myself in this stuff. I got to normalize speaking about the Antichrist and not the left or the progressives or the all that stuff is nonsense. It's Christ or Antichrist. And so the Antichrist forces, the atheistic forces, the forces of the traditions of men that override the Word of God have done a great job in inverting the truth and normalizing evil. When I grew up, nobody talked about LGBTQ. I mean, that was not in the vocabulary. It was not a part of the discussion. Now, granted, I didn't grow up in San Francisco, but this whole homosexuality was at the best on the fringes of some portions of society, but it certainly wasn't where I grew up. Certainly wasn't in middle America. Even at the University of Washington in the early 1980s, it just wasn't a thing. Now, I'm sure, people, of course, were doing whatever, but it wasn't such a predominant part of the narrative, let alone transgenderism, let alone open borders. They've normalized things that ought not to be normalized. And they've pushed the narrative. And the church has, by and large, been on the back foot. They've been on the back foot saying, we have to defend against this, traditional values or whatever. And then the church has always been apologizing. Well, we're really not racist because, we're really not sexist because, we're really not homophobic because, God loves everybody. We're really not transphobic. I mean, just on and on and on and on. And so the church is always on the back foot. Always in a position where they have to apologize. So, well, we need to become, in these new churches, we got to become relevant to society and show them the love of God. And instead of being the salt and the light, they've simply retreated and retreated and retreated. And so here we are in 2022, late 2022, completely irrelevant. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks a couple times. He says, look, if the salt becomes tasteless, it's good for nothing. It's thrown out. It's trampled under the feet of men. And he says, hey, did somebody light a lamp and then put a bushel basket over it? Y'all are the light of the world. He's talking to his disciples. And it seems to me that we're in a position, not totally, and I think we're waking up, but what the church has done over several generations now is the salt becomes flavorless. It's like you're not any different than the world. You go to a lot of these churches, and including the mainline churches, and they're not any different than the world. Some of these churches are on the forefront of pushing an Antichrist agenda, pushing values and a narrative that fundamentally undermines the Holy Scriptures. And then there are other churches in a position where they keep their light under a bushel basket. Well, we don't want to shine too brightly because the Antichrist will get upset with us. And I know of cases of this, and I know of individual Christians that have done this, and churches that have done this. Well, we're going to sneak around and we're going to have these little private conversations, and hope the Antichrist doesn't hear us, or the people of the Antichrist, or the spirit of the Antichrist, or the allies of the Antichrist. Look at it as you want. But there's Christ and there's Antichrist. There's Jesus Christ and there's the Antichrist. I have to train my own mind to think of those terms. Now, of course, the Antichrist won't like that. But that's part of the problem. We've bent over backwards. We don't want to be extreme. He's an extremist. And so the church is always on the back foot, defending itself. The Antichrist knows how to play this game. The church knows how to play this game. But the church won't play the game, by and large. There are exceptions. And the Antichrist is full on. The spirit of the Antichrist. The people of the Antichrist. The bride of the Antichrist. And the church won't even talk about these terms because it might offend somebody. But the Bible talks about these terms. Bible talks about the Antichrist, and it defines who the Antichrist is. It's he who rejects the Father and the Son. It's he who says that the anointed one, the Redeemer, has not come in the flesh. Well, there's a whole lot of Antichrist out there, according to John. And there's entire corporate identities of people that perfectly fit that definition of the Antichrist. And y'all are looking for a handsome little devil with a nice suit, a couple little horns popping out. And the number of the man, is 666, corporate man. Y'all are looking for something, and you're looking in the wrong place. You're looking in the back 40, and he's in the living room. So I thought I'd just talk about a couple things that ought to be normalized. They ought to be normalized in society. The Tower of Babel. Whose job is it to normalize things? It's the church. What we're commanded to do is go out and proclaim, to profess, to be public, to get up in their grill, to proclaim the words of Jesus Christ and the Holy Scriptures, to teach the whole world about the Holy Scriptures from Genesis through the Revelation. That's the church's job. And what the church has done is retreat, and then put itself under the traditions of men, saying our highest duty is to conform to these unbiblical traditions of men. Don't be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, let alone anti-Semitic. Oh, God, no, not that. And the church is literally submitted to the Antichrist. Say, well, I don't see the handsome little devil with a nice suit on and a couple of arms. The spirit of the Antichrist. Bible says that many Antichrists have been around for 2,000 years, according to St. John. Y'all are looking for something. Say, well, we guess we're safe until the dude shows up. One of his greatest tricks is to convince you that he doesn't even exist, that he's not around. And still, the church bends the knee and grovels before the Antichrist. The church is groveling and bowing down to the Antichrist because we don't want to offend the Antichrist. We'll offend Jesus Christ all day long, but oh no, we're not going to offend the Antichrist. So we're not going to talk about all the things that the Antichrist doesn't want us to talk about. We're not going to normalize the Holy Scriptures. The church has said, one way or the other, explicitly or implicitly. And they start worshiping the values of the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, the inversion of the Antichrist, while they break the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God, which is Jesus Christ, in vain. Church takes the name of Jesus Christ in vain. Oh, we're Christians because we're not racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and we certainly aren't anti-Semitic. The deception's huge. Why do you think Jesus Christ said in the Revelation, come out of the midst of her, people? Otherwise, you're going to share in her plagues. The great whore of Babylon that rides upon many waters, many nations. This is something that isn't just like, oh, you know, well, there's the dude. You know, he's sitting in a chair in, you know, the Vatican or in Jerusalem or in Washington, D.C. No, the whore is in many nations. She's on many waters. Church is right there in the midst of it. When Jesus Christ warns, when there's a warning, hey, church, come out of the midst of her, it's probably because the church is in the midst of her. This isn't fake news. If Jesus Christ warns against the doctrines of the Pharisees, it's because it's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue that the church submits itself to the doctrines and precepts of men instead of the Word of God. If the Jesus Christ warns, it said, get out of Babylon, come out of her. Well, it's probably because it's going to be an issue, and it is an issue. Babylon's where they originated these traditions of men that walked all over the Word of God. And the evangelical church is way down that road, way down that road. They grovel and worship the Antichrist. Who's the Antichrist? He who rejects the Father and Son. He who denies that the Christ, the Redeemer, has already come in the flesh. Oh, we can't say that. You know, that could be interpreted as anti-Semitic. Well, that's what I'm saying. All right, here's some things that we need to normalize. How about the story of the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11? When's the last time a preacher said, look, here's what God did. The world says, Nimrod says, we're all going to be one. We're going to be one people, one nation, one race, governed centrally. We're going to make ourselves great, and we can do anything, make a tower into heaven. The Almighty God personally intervened. Comes down there, and he enforces the division of the different ethnicities, the different bloodlines, by giving them different languages. I mean, this is divine intervention. Babel's divine. It's one of the most amazing turning points in the history of mankind. I mean, there's the creation, there's the flood, there's the Tower of Babel, there's the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ. There's the creation of the nation of Israel as a role model for all the other nations. But Babel's one of them, and it's abandoned. It's been abandoned by the evangelical church, I think. I mean, then you go to the book of Acts, they start speaking in tongues. And I'm all for the speaking in the tongues and the Pentecostals and the charismatic. Good on you. But how about looking at that in the bigger context? How about saying, look, this goes right back to the Tower of Babel. Right back to the Tower of Babel. God's reestablishing, reaffirming that you have different nations, different ethnic groups. You say, oh, I don't know, that sounds racist, that sounds xenophobic. Again, you're putting your traditions of men over the Word of God. Why did God divide the nations? It says it in Acts chapter 17. It's all right there. Why? To see which groups of people are going to serve Jesus Christ. If you put everybody under one ruler, ruled by the Antichrist, whether he shows up with a suit or not, whether it's an individual man or it's the corporate man 666, whether it's some dude or it's the spirit of the Antichrist or it's many Antichrists, you put everybody together, whether it's in Babel or the World Economic Forum or the United Nations or the Great Reset or the New World Order, you end up with the same thing. And all these nations are not going to be able to say, you know what, we're going to go our own way. We're going to serve Jesus Christ. We're going to have a Christian nation. It's same with individuals. I mean, if you can't understand it on that scale, imagine an individual. Why many individuals? Let's see who serves Jesus Christ. Who serves Jesus Christ? Which one will serve Jesus Christ? Who's going to swear allegiance to the monarch Jesus Christ? Who's going to live for him? Who will live for Jesus Christ? If you do that with an individual, why not with nations? Why not with families? Over and over in the scriptures, you see, it's as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Look at the Levites. Look at the sons of Levi. Go back in the book of Numbers. Go the book of Exodus. They strapped on. They strapped on and they slaughtered their brothers and their neighbors and their sons who rebelled against the monarch Jesus Christ. Who are you loyal to? You put everybody together in Babel or the one world government. And it's apparent to me that churches don't even know how to talk about this. Pastors don't know how to talk about this. You got this one world economic. It's all out there. It's all fuzzy. And my response is solid theology. You got to have solid theology. And the example is right there. It's right there in Genesis chapter 11. God himself comes down and he divides up the nations. Oh, but that sounds like it's racist and xenophobic. That's why you got to get over your man-made traditions. This is what the Talmud people did. They invented these man-made traditions and laid them over the Word of God. We laid them over the law, laid them over the prophets. And this is why I say the evangelical church has gone down the same road. Babel is there's one world government, and it's going to come under Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings. Anybody else is a usurper. Whether it's the handsome devil with the nice suit and the two little horns, or it's a corporate body. It's this amorphous system that you can't wrap your mind and your head around. You don't know who's in charge, and that's where we're at in the world today. Nobody knows who's in charge. The devil's got us all wrapped up. And we're looking for this and we're looking for that. And he's just there pulling the strings. There's only one force that can break through that. It's the force of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? This is political. This is economic. This is philosophical. This is moral. But the church has bought into the narrative of the Antichrist and said, oh no, we're a religion. Jesus Christ is Lord of my heart. A church just comes out and says, no, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the ruler of every nation. And we're supposed to build Christian nations. Biblical example of that is ancient Israel, which has nothing to do with an Antichrist entity that rejects the Father and the Son of today. It was a nation. Ancient Israel was a nation, and they were to be an example to all the other nations on the earth. So what makes you all so great? Here, it's the law of God. We serve the Almighty God. We serve Jesus Christ. We're building Christian nations. I'm telling you, we're building Christian nations. We're going to build Christian nations across the face of the earth. But instead of sitting back and apologizing to the Antichrist, we need to shove it down their throats. So, oh, but you're offending people. Being inoffensive is not a Christian virtue. It's never been a Christian virtue. Go ask Jesus Christ. Go ask Paul. Go ask Peter. Go ask Moses. Oh, Moses, don't you know you're offending Pharaoh? You're defying his legitimate authority. And that's where we're at, is the evangelical church. Let's figure out how to please the Antichrist. Let's hide behind this scripture and that scripture. Oh, it says submit to the authorities. Yeah, tell that to Moses, okay? All right. Borders. We don't want to talk about borders. What, nobody's going to talk about, oh, that's racist and xenophobic. And you're putting your man-made traditions above the Word of God. First, our border guard is at Eden. God made a God made Eden, put borders around it, puts man and a woman, Adam and Eve in there, kicks them out of Eden. So there's an in Eden and there's an out of Eden. And at the border of Eden, he puts an armed border guard. Oh, well, that sounds like discrimination. We need to put this right back in the ground. It starts with the church. If the church doesn't believe the Word of God, it is salt that's become flavorless. It's cast out. It's trampled under the feet of men. That's where we're at. The church doesn't want to hear us. Pastors don't want to preach this stuff. Well, that was just in the Garden of Eden. That was a long time ago. Hey, the nation of Israel, the ancient nation of Israel. I'm not talking about the entity that exists in the Middle East today. And by the way, I don't care about what they do or what they don't do. It's irrelevant to me. The holy race is those in Jesus Christ. The holy race is those in Jesus Christ. The chosen people are those baptized in Jesus Christ. Anyway, the ancient Israel, 3,000 years ago, whatever, 3,500 years ago, he said, hey, you're coming out of Egypt. I'm going to put you in this specific geographic area. And this land has borders. Go read it. The land of ancient Israel had borders, specific borders. They didn't extend over the whole earth. They didn't extend over the entire entire continent. There were very specific borders. And for that ancient nation, it wasn't very big, by the way. I mean, compared to a country like Russia or the United States, for example, geographically. But it had specific, defined, fixed borders. And then within that nation, within the ancient nation of Israel, there were tribal boundaries. Tribes had specific geographic areas. And so the ethnos was attached to a piece of land. The ethnic groups were attached to a piece of land. And even with the nation of Israel, the ancient Hebrews, subdividing them, it was based on their blood relations. Go read the book of Numbers. Even when they marched around, they didn't say, oh, everybody just, we're all one, we're all the same. No, it said, this tribe's going to march here. That tribe's going to march there. This tribe's going to camp here on the south side of the tabernacle. This tribe's going to camp on the north side of the tabernacle. Specific areas. And when they went into the promised land, they had specific areas. Borders, language, land, culture, loyalties. Oh, we can't talk about it. That sounds xenophobic. It sounds racist. It sounds discriminatory. It sounds exclusive. It sounds intolerant. And the church has bent the knees to the values of the Antichrist. We have to explode these. I've said for years, don't even say, well, I'm not racist because, I'm not xenophobic because, I'm not intolerant because, I'm not anti-Semitic. But those are losers. Those are the arguments of losers, because you've ceded the presuppositions to the enemy. Once you cede the presuppositions to the enemy, you've lost. You've lost. Whoever controls the presuppositions of the argument loses. So you're going to have some argument, well, I'm not racist because... You lost, dude. Here's the deal. The church is the holy race. It's the chosen people. I mean, just grasp a hold of that. God called Abraham. He chose Abraham. Now, Abraham had to make decisions back and say, I'm choosing you. And he demonstrated his loyalty by being willing to sacrifice his son Isaac on an altar. All life is a loyalty test. Do you believe? Do you have faith? Are you humble before the Creator? And this is true not only for individuals, but for nations. And we're going to build Christian nations. So help me God, we're going to build Christian nations. States that explicitly worship Jesus Christ. But all we, you know, the church, oh, we don't want to talk about borders because it'll offend the Antichrist. That's the bottom line. They'll accuse you of things that aren't biblical sins. Before the world can believe, the church has to believe. Creation. The accepted narrative is a complete inversion of the creation of God. It's a complete and utter inversion of the creation of God. And many, many churches were like, well, we don't talk about that because, you know, we can believe in evolution and also believe in Jesus Christ. And I think Henry Morris said it best. If you ever want to read his book on creation or creation science, I forget the title, but look up Henry Morris, read the first chapter. You cannot square the Holy Scriptures with the story, the atheistic story of evolution. You can't do it. And the Bible's very explicit. Kinds that reproduce after their own kinds. They don't morph and change kinds. Salamanders do not become horses. But the church pretends this doesn't exist. It's backed off and said, well, we're not gonna talk about that because we just want to talk about you getting born again. Well, if why be born again if we're morphing into something bigger and greater and wiser and more glorious and eventually we're going to live forever? You abandon the fight of the presupposition. You lose the fight. Well, we're just evolving and we're becoming smarter and wiser and greater and living longer. And, you know, this is the trend. Then where's original sin? Are we born good? You undermine the entire gospel and you go out there and you try to preach the gospel and people look at you like, you're crazy. Because we've abandoned the presuppositions. Presuppositions are saying faith. We've abandoned faith. And the Antichrist faith has replaced the faith of the narrative of the Creator. The Antichrist narratives have replaced the narrative of the Creator. Whose fault is that? Well, I'd like the church to at least stand up and start fighting and proclaiming the narrative again. These are some examples that we have to do. Over and over again, the Bible says that kinds reproduce after their own kind, plant and animal. Plant and animal. Oh, but now 2022, oh, now we're going to mix kinds. We're going to just wait. I mean, you talk about, I mean, we're going to grow hearts in pigs so you give people new hearts. You just wait. I mean, what do you think this mRNA stuff is? Wait till they just, God knows what they're going to jam in us. LGBTQ. I like going after LGBTQ because it's unscientific. Not even because it's against the scriptures, which it is. Bible created man and woman, and our primary duty in life is to reproduce. There's no such thing as mammalian homosexual reproduction. Doesn't exist. It's as unscientific as possible. Mammals cannot reproduce via a homosexual act. This is completely unscientific. Transgenderism is completely unscientific. Chromosomes are not changed from XX to XY or vice versa. Utterly unscientific. You got all these antichrists out there. Follow the science. Okay, here's the science. Homosexuality is a genetic and biological dead end. Transgenderism is a genetic and biological dead end. And it doesn't work. Chromosomes don't change. Oh, but you're homophobic, Fritz. You're transphobic. Why, church, do you elevate the traditions of man over the Word of God? Here's another one. Church doesn't know what to do with the term hypocrisy. I have to do a word search on hypocrisy. I usually go to BibleGateway.com and I'll do my stuff there. It's got many different translations of the Bible. I like going to the Mounts. It's sort of a Greek to English. You can see the original Greek words in there. But for all my life, I've heard hypocrisy is when you can't live up to your moral precepts. And I don't know about you. You're probably a much, much better man than I am. I'm sure you are. But you know what? I don't always live up to what I know is right and wrong. I just don't. Unlike you. So I have bad thoughts. I drink too much. I get angry. I say bad words. I do these things. Oh, you're a hypocrite. You say you're a Christian, but you're a hypocrite. And I've said before, when the Holy Scriptures talk about this, it's not talking about a personal moral failing. And there's no excuse for my moral failings, none whatsoever. None. And I'll be held accountable to them. It's talking about something vastly deeper and more pernicious and something institutional. The hypocrisy that the Bible's talking about is things like the Pharisees saying we follow the law, and yet they turn around and they conspire to murder the Son of God, and in fact do murder the Son of God. That's hypocrisy. That's not, you know what, I slipped up. Sorry, God, I sinned today. No, that's not it. This is an entire movement. Here's a current example. Oh, we're against hate. You see these yard signs out there? Oh, we're against hate in all its forms. Yet what they do is they turn around and they engender hatred and rejection towards people. Oh, see, Fritz, he's racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive. He's a Nazi. And it's designed to dehumanize people. There's an organization out there called the Anti-Defamation League. Their stock and trade is defamation. Their stock and trade is defamation. I mean, this is in your face, in your grill. Church won't talk about this. Oh, he's homophobic. He's transphobic. He's anti-Semitic. They defame people. People say, well, you shouldn't use racial epithets. Well, you know what? Calling somebody a Nazi is just as bad or worse than calling somebody a racial epithet. And I'm not saying this for my benefit. I'm saying it for your benefit because we all get trapped in this stuff. And you've got the massive hatred emanating from the forces of the Antichrist, the people of the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist to demonize and dehumanize people that reject the narrative of the Antichrist. Extremist, racist, white supremacist, homophobic, anti-Semitic. And so this is the defamation they use in order to advance their Antichrist agenda. And the church doesn't see it, doesn't recognize it. When you call somebody a Nazi, you're spreading hate. And when entire institutions of government do this, entire organizations do it, that's the hypocrisy that Jesus Christ is talking about. It's you know, we think it's a personal moral failing. I don't know of anybody. Maybe you're better than me, but we fail at some level to live up to what we know is right and true. I don't care if you're man, woman, child, whatever. There's none righteous, no, not even one. And all we can do, all I can do, is repent, move on, and keep up the struggle. And recognizing that what I do is wrong. But when you have people glorying in spreading the hate that they claim to be against, that's the institutional hypocrisy that Jesus Christ talked about. When you have people out there defaming people and claiming to be anti-defamation, that's the institutional hypocrisy that Jesus Christ is talking about. We have organizations saying we're against murder, and yet they go out, they conspire to murder. Read the book of Acts, people. Read the book of Acts. That's the institutional hypocrisy that Jesus Christ talked about. Now, why don't we hear that from the pulpits? I got a little insight here for you, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I think we're going to see a whole new generation and types of preachers out there because we have to, and we have to because the salt has become flavorless, the salt has become tasteless, and it's good for nothing but to be tossed out and trampled under the feet of men. That's what the church has become. That's what the evangelical church has become. And you got some of these pastors out there, and I'm talking Baptist, Bible-believing churches, and they're out there, well, look at me. Look at how righteous I am. I am making peace with the Muslim and with the Talmud people and the Quran people. And he forgets 2 John 7 through 11. Making friends with their world. And we're going to have a whole new generation of rough men that are saying, you know what, screw it. I'm going to go preach the word of God. And what the church has done is say, well, you know, you're not qualified because you're they list all the Satan's sins. Something's going to change. I'm telling you, we're going to get a whole new raft of people out there, a whole new raft of preachers. And they're not going to look like preachers. I'm telling you. They're going to look like something different, but they're going to proclaim the word of God, because if the people in the pulpits now won't do it, God will raise up other people that will. I'm telling you. You watch this happen. The church has always been on its back foot for generations. It's on its back foot, trying to make friends with the world. And the light's been put under a bushel basket. If preachers won't do what needs to be done, other people will. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. Out. Happy Veterans Day.